Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. It's a great text. It's a great memory verse. It's found right there in the middle of Hebrews 13, verse 8. Richard asked me not to speak about him, but about Jesus. It's a surprise, isn't it? But tonight is a great moment in our lives, in the lives of Richard and Jeanette, in the lives of the Chin family, in the lives of the students of Wollongong University and Canberra University, in the lives of Wollongong City and University, for a preacher of God's word affects the society around about them. But let's turn our attention to Hebrews 13, because it's about the end and the continuity of life in the cause of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That way we can talk about Richard and Jeanette by talking about Jesus and the ministry of the gospel. Hebrews 13, as it's read to us, and thank you for just reading it to us now, is a chapter of commands. Verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Verse 3, remember those who are in prison. Verse 4, let marriage be held in honour among all. Verse 5, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. Verse 6, remember your leaders. Verse 7, remember your leaders. Verse 9, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. Or down to verse 17, still more commands. Obey your leaders and submit to them. But the commands of God are never arbitrary and meaningless. They're given for reasons and they carry all manner of consequences. And so we have a lot of the commands given here with reasons, with consequences. Verse 2, therefore, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Verse 3, since you also are in the body. Or verse 4, for God will judge the sexually immoral person and adulterous person. Verse 5, for he has said, I will never leave you and forsake you. Verse 9, for it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which... Or verse 17, for they are keeping watch over your soul. And in all these changes of life that we go through, in this case, losing a leader in Wollongong and gaining a new one in Canberra, the great confession of Jesus stands out in this passage for its permanence, the rock-like foundation of our lives. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. It's great news. Great news in the midst of our transitory life as people come and go in our lives. People who matter to us, people who are important to us, move on to another city, move on to another ministry, move on to another life, move on even into eternity by their death. As people go through our lives and keep moving on, in the midst of all the transitions of life that we experience, is the great news, Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday and today and forever. But why? Why is this verse, verse 8, why is it there? I mean, I love it. It's wonderful. It's true. It's really helpful to us. But why is it there between verse 7 and verse 9? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away from by diverse and strange teachings, for it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace and not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. It's a strange verse, verse 8, in that it comes out of the blue. It's totally unexpected, seemingly anyway. It's not connected in any way syntactically to the verse before or the verse after. In fact, you can drop out verse 8 and most people wouldn't miss it. Let me shout to you. Verse 7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it's good for the heart to be... You didn't even notice it missed it. We could have saved a verse. It would have lost a good memory verse. But we could have saved one verse that we didn't need in the logic of the chapter. So why is this great memory verse, this great confession, placed in this chapter at this point? Why do we need to be reminded of Christ's consistency at this point in the logic of the chapter? At this point in the gospel ministry here in Wollongong? Let's look at it in its immediate context. So we'll really concentrate on verses 7 and verses 9. Yesterday, we're reminded with strong command to remember. Remember your leaders, verse 7. Not just what they taught you, but them. Remember the persons who taught you. Remember Richard and Jeanette. Remember their arrival in this city 25 years ago and 4 years ago. Remember their behaviour and their life. When Richard and Bronwyn came, there was great consternation about whether he would take the students out of the local churches of Wollongong and start a uni church like the one at New South Wales University where he was trained. People didn't know him or Bronwyn when they came, didn't know that his love of Jesus and of the gospel meant he wanted to work with people, not setting up his own empire, but serving those already here. Not following a system or pattern of how to do ministry, but allowing God's word to modify and lead him in ministering to students and serving in churches. Now, 25 years later, he seems to be a permanent feature of Wollongong and of this church. Kind of like this building itself. It's always been here. Today's undergraduates and even postgraduate students weren't even born when he came here. For them, Richard is part of Wollongong. That part of the microphone's not there anymore. But the chins are not part of the permanent. They are part of the transitory. They always were. And they're leading. And we're being told to remember them. Why? Why remember them? Because they are the leaders who did the most important act of leadership. They are those who spoke the word of God to us. For some of us, we've listened to him for years on public platforms, in small groups, in personal conversations. For a shorter time, and yet also important, some of us have listened to Jeanette as she has brought God's word to us as well. These are the leaders we're to remember. Why? Because they brought the message of Jesus to us. Though they leave and we don't hear them anymore, yet the message of Jesus that they brought, that they taught, that message never changes. Why does that message never change? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. We're to remember our leaders who taught us God's word because of the word that they spoke to us, the word of Jesus, who never changes, never leaves us, is never in transition, but is always the same. Just take a moment, friends, and remember not only Richard and Jeanette at this moment, remember the people who taught you the word of God. The ones who first taught you the word of God. I can think back to Sunday school teachers who first taught me the word of God. Wonderful people who 60 years ago and more taught me the Word of God. Remember them. For Jesus, you see, remains the same. The Jesus they taught always is the same. Forever. Forever. Consider it. This Jesus never changes, never has, never will. So Paul wrote to the Galatians, you may remember, and he says, if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one that we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. There is no new gospel. There is no change in gospel. There's no alternative gospel. There's no latest news of gospel, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. The gospel doesn't change, for Jesus doesn't change, which is why we should not only remember our leaders, but he says in verse 7 there, but also consider our leaders who spoke the word of God to us. Consider what? Consider the outcome of their way of life. Look at the trajectory of 25 years of gospel ministry. Look at the consequences of 25 years of gospel ministry. And beware of the Johnny-come-lately who has some new and novel teaching. Or beware of the internet preachers or the tele-evangelists whose lives you cannot see, except, of course, when public disgrace of media scandals reveals what they were really like. Look at the lives you know, that you have seen. You have seen over years, over decades. Wollongong has watched the life and outcome of Richard, watched with heart-wrenching compassion through the loss of his beloved Bronwyn, watched him care for her, grieve for her, raise their children, sometimes as a single father, watched him remarry, and all the time continue a faithful ministry of God's word, telling the world of Jesus. Remember him, consider him, and the outcome of his life, the quality of the man who has taught us God's word. This is the outcome of this man who has lived out his teaching, the teaching of Jesus. It's not fickle. It's solid. It's the same, year in, year out, irrespective of the circumstances of life and whatever the evil one may throw it upon us. Jesus is the same. His servants will be likewise. And so in the face of the future for us, we're commanded in verse 9, don't be led away to diverse and strange teachings. We've been taught by our leaders the word of God, the word of the gospel, the word of Christ, who is the same yesterday, today and forever. They're leaving us, but the word of Christ must stay with us. Others will come, but we must not be led astray from Jesus and from the teaching of the gospel that we've received. For the word of God's grace found in the gospel is good for strengthening the heart. Not at all, of course, meaning the blood pump, which is affected by foods, and therefore the verse doesn't make sense of our modern. He's talking about the symbolic heart, the real person. Whereas the rules and morality about food, what you eat, what you drink, what you don't eat, what you don't drink, they're really of no benefit to the heart, not to the real person. The religions of this world are all about food and drink. You don't eat meat on Fridays. You don't eat food in the daylight hours for a whole month of Ramadan. Or that modern woke religion, secular woke religion of vegetarianism and veganism, that somehow you're going to be an improved person because you are what you eat. It's nonsense, you see. Your heart, your real person, is not what you eat. Adolf Hitler was a teetotal anti-caffeine vegetarian. He had a very, very soft heart towards animals and was concerned that people did not use them for food. He had a soft heart towards animals, but not towards God and not towards humans. What you eat affects your stomach, but not your heart. No, it's the grace of God that will strengthen your heart in Christ Jesus. It's the Word of God that gives you life and sustains you in life. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, who preserves you and strengthens you. So today, imitate your leaders, not in their fashion or manners or their choice of music or their fanaticism for running or anything like that, but imitate their faith. Verse 7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. The chins have taught us of their faith. And it has always, only ever been in the Lord Jesus Christ. In particular, in His sacrifice for their sins. It's like on the Jewish Day of Atonement. See, most sacrifices in the old Jewish system were eaten, but not the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. Those animals upon whom the sin of the nation had been placed were taken outside of the city and their bodies were incinerated. Jesus was, of course, the true atoning sacrifice for sin, bearing our sin outside the city in His crucifixion at Golgotha. Our faith is in Him, not in the temple sacrifices, which had to be repeated continuously because they never succeeded, but in Him, whose one true sacrifice was for the sins of the world, not in the city of Jerusalem, not in the temple, but in the heavenly city that is to come, we find Jesus, for His sacrifice was outside of the city. And this is where we must go. We must go to Jesus. Leave the comforts of religion, leave the comforts of the city. We go to Him to bear the reproach, to bear the disgrace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who became sin for us, so that in Him we might be found the righteousness of God. We must deny ourselves our comforts, our homes, where we want to be. We must deny ourselves. We must, like Him, take up our cross and go and follow Him. We must bear His reproach. The world will not love us, will not understand us necessarily. But they didn't love Him. They didn't understand Him either. And so we must keep our faith in Him and His sacrifice for our sins. And having come to Him for forgiveness and salvation, we then go on living our sacrifice. You see them in verses 15 and verse 16. Our sacrifices are not of bulls and lambs. We don't need those. They never take away sin anyway. Jesus has done all that. Nor of Jesus again in some kind of mass or Eucharistic meal. No, our sacrifices in verse 15 is the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Our sacrifice of Him, our sacrifice is in verse 16, to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. For we praise God in declaring the greatness of the Lord, by speaking of Him, by teaching of Him, by evangelizing with Him, telling one and all of the wonderful justice and mercy of God that you find in the death and resurrection of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. As we go speaking of Jesus, we are offering up the sacrifice of Christians and also of doing good, of not just speaking it, but living it as well, especially in our generosity to those in need. Oh, we as a nation have been given such great wealth, haven't we? Great wealth given by God, that we may share the praises of God will still others through our generosity. And so tonight, Hebrews 13 speaks to us of our moment situation. After 25 years, the Chins are leaving Wollongong, leaving the ministry of the university, leaving the church here at St Michael's. Everything is changing. Well, no, not really. Nothing's really changing, because Jesus Christ is the same. 25 years ago, today, and forever, Jesus Christ is the same. When we remember the Chins, we remember them as those who spoke the word of God to us, and praise God that they did and came, and we remember them for that great thing above all. And we consider the outcome of their lives, and we imitate their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we remember their teaching and example of leaving all to go out of the city, to go to him, Jesus, to go out of Sydney, to come here, to go out of here, to go on to Canberra. We remember that they go to Jesus to receive the grace that strengthens the heart. And we acknowledge Jesus' name with our lips as we seek to do good. And so we look at a chapter here that is full of commands. These are the good things that we need to be doing if we're to be offering up the sacrifice of Christian life. Brotherly love, showing hospitality, remembering those in prison, holding marriage in honour, keeping our lives free from the love of money, being content with what we have, remembering our leaders and not being led astray by strange teachings, and obeying our leaders and submitting to them. These are the kinds of good things that reflect the life of the Christian who remembers their leaders. We keep on keeping on with the things that we have learnt in Christ Jesus, who is always the same, with Richard and Jeanette and without Richard and Jeanette. Life is the same. Always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, because it's not about the Chins. It's about Christ. And he never changes. And so the chapter finishes with a prayer. Verses 20 and 21 there. And then a little final greeting. But look at the prayer. It's a prayer that we can have for them and they can have for us. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, here's the prayer, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. See, these are the sacrifices that are pleasing to God, verse 16, that we pray for in verses 20, 21. And as you have it open in front of you, I'm going to invite you to finish this sermon with me by praying this prayer out loud together. Let's pray. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.